Good evening and welcome to our Thursday night prayer service. Let's stand as we take our hymn books. Turn to hymn number 778. Sweet By and By, hymn number 778.
There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. We shall sing on that beautiful shore the melodious tones of the blessed, and our spirits shall sorrow no more. Not a sigh for the blessing of rest in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore in the sweet by and by. We shall meet on that beautiful shore to our bountiful Father above. We will offer our tribute of praise for the glorious gift of His love and the blessings that hallow our days. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore. In the sweet by and by, we shall meet on that beautiful shore.
Amen. And what a great promise. God bless you. May be seated. Good to see you tonight. Even though you knew that Pastor Reynolds was not going to be here, you still came. Bless your hearts. We're not here to celebrate a person. We're here to praise the name of Jesus Christ and gather around His Word. And what a joy it is to know that He is our Lord and our Savior. In the bulletin on Sunday, we will post in the bulletin for you pastor's address in Georgia. And so that you can have that if you would like. I know some of you might want to send a note of encouragement or something like that. We miss you or anything like that is a wonderful blessing to receive. And as pastor emeritus, he will be back on several occasions. The next scheduled event that he's going to be here, he may be here between now and then, I'm not sure. But the next scheduled event is Founders Conference. And we're looking forward to that. So, and I don't know how we can have homecoming Sunday without Pastor. I haven't negotiated that with him yet. But you be in much in prayer for him as they're setting up their new home place and their home place there in Georgia. How many of you all despise moving? You just despise it. Yes. So you know how to pray for him. You know how to pray for Becky. And Pastor Aaron is with them. They drove both trucks. Some of you know what that's like. You get a big truck and know that it's all going to fit. And sure enough, it didn't. And so he drove the second truck, and they tooled on down the road. And we're so thankful for what God is doing in their ministry and going to continue to do there under Adam Reynolds. And his son is going to pastor him. Better he than me. Better he than me. I pastored my grandfather for a couple of years. The man who pastored the church I was pastoring, he pastored that church longer than I'd ever been in the ministry, almost longer than I'd been alive. He pastored that church. And I was standing in the pulpit, and he was seated out there. I'll tell you this little story, and then we'll go on. His hearing was failing. And so oftentimes people would say something and he would just, nod his head and smile and yes, God bless you, and that kind of thing. In the pew, he didn't hear too well. He had two hearing aids and still it didn't work quite up to par. Well, we got one of those hearing assist things that we have here, where it's a little receiver and a little wireless thing, and you just stick the little thing in your ear and you can turn your volume up and down. And so after a Sunday morning service, he was saying something about he got bits and pieces of the message. And I reached in my pocket. I had brought one down to his house. And I said, "Papaw," I said, "I'd like you to try something. This is something new that we have. And you might be able to put it in your ear. Maybe it might help a little bit." He said, "No, I don't see how that would help. I have two very expensive hearing aids. I don't see how it would help." I said, "Well, it probably won't. But if you wouldn't mind, just give it a whirl and just see if it might help at all." And he said, "Okay, I sure will." And I came down to his house next Sunday morning after church. And I said, "Papaw, how you doing?" He interrupted me. He said, "I heard every word." So, Pastor, I don't know if you're hearing every word right now or not. You might be tuned in, but we are so thankful what God has done through you here for 20 years, and we're reaping the blessings here. And so I hope that you do have a prayer sheet here before you. I'm going to ask Brother Joe Gibalisco if you would prepare to come lead us in prayer. And we're praying for our president and all of our government officials, praying for the peace of Israel and all our missionaries serving in the Middle East. We're praying for the upcoming elections. I'll have more to say that in a few moments. Brenda Bowen's son, Jerry, is having a radiation and chemo treatment. Please pray for Jerry. Kelly Simmons' nephew, still missing. Bev Routier's sister, as we mentioned, don't realize why we didn't take that off. Apologize, but she got saved. We reported that last week, and pray for her as she's refusing these treatments. And I pray that God will give her wonderful days with family. And any update, Miss Bev? Okay, continue to pray. Rod and Rose Vincent, our missionaries to the Navajos in New Mexico, trying to get the deed to a land that they've been leasing for decades. And that'd be a great, a wonderful miracle. So I pray that God will work that out. Marie Bowder is having severe pain in her leg. They will not really do anything for her beyond a mild pain medicine because they require her to have an MRI. And because of the red tape going on with remarkable insurance plans of our government, that they won't allow her to have an MRI for almost another week. So she is just writhing in pain. And pray for her, if you will. I talked with Clifford just a little while ago this afternoon, and she'd appreciate your prayers. Pray for Clifford as well. And also, Kai, I believe, is in the air right now flying to Japan to visit with Ben and to see her aunt that is in the last stages of lung cancer, I believe you said. And so Daniel was telling me about that. Doctors told Marie Bowder's daughter Tammy that they think she might have lupus. And good to see Kay Sherrill. God bless you, Kay. Glad you can see us. Amen. I was talking with Kay, and they're trying to be very careful because the same kind of thing that happened with her eye, with a stroke, with her left eye, could also take place with her right one. They're trying to make sure that does not happen. And so pray for Kay at this time. Good to see Gary recovering from surgery. And good to see you, sir. You were in a lot of pain, and I'm surprised to see you right here. So if you need to get up and move around or whatever during the service, have at it. That's okay. That's all right. He's kind of watching out for her blind side. And so that's great. God bless you, Gary. Mary Decker, pray for her with shingles. This is a long, prolonged, painful thing, as you know. Sharon Gaddy's brother-in-law, Louie, has lung cancer in both lungs. And doctors say there's nothing they can do and that he is unsaved. Pray for Paul and Sharon as well. They're coming down to the last days here in Florida. They're moving to be with family. And I believe Sunday might be their last day, last church service. I know that tonight is their last Thursday night, someone told me. Is that right, Brother Paul? Tonight's your last Thursday night service?
Yes,
sir. Yes.
Last for a while.
Okay. All right. Well, that's what hurts us, the last for a while. And, you know, this might be all of our last Thursday night service. In the sweet by and by, we'll not have any more church services. It'll just be a perpetual praise time. And that'll be great. Pray for them as they prepare to move, though. Dave Genrich's 18-year-old nephew, suffering from an enlarged lymph node. And pray for him. George Crow has been having some physical issues as well. And it was good to see him on Sunday. And then continue to pray for these, Margaret Cordy's grandson, Zachary, Mary Butler, Gina and Godby, Rob Mills, Brother Gary, Rick Elkins, Ramsey Butler, David Goss, Wesley Perry, Stacy Libby's father, and Ray Procius, Carol Alderman, Alicia Robles, Rosalie Rehnquist, Lou Sukup's neighbor, Daryl, Stephen Van Ravensway, Rusty Chakowski's father, Scott Thompson, Jerry Huber, Roger Nickel, and Paul Trentham. And then praying for these missionaries tonight, the Truitt family in Italy, doing a wonderful work there, and the Tuts in Romania. And then pray for these in the nursing home, Mary Lou Siever and Ann Sperry. If you want to get a blessing, go see Ann Sperry. Mary Lou Siever, bless her heart, she's just a precious soul. And she's, let's see, is Herb... Herb, are y'all here tonight? I didn't see you, but Mary Lou is just wonderful, and when you go just across the hall a little bit there at Orange City Rehab, you'll see Ann Sperry, and if you have not visited these folks in the nursing home, you're missing a great blessing. It really is. You go to be a blessing, but it turns out you get a blessing instead in return. And in the Berry Manor, Dot Daniels, of course, she's just a joy. She doesn't know who you are, you know, and so you're not going for anything about yourself. You're going to be a blessing. But boy, I tell you, she'll often ask me to, you know, sing her a song or something like that. And from time to time, I'll try to not be boisterous about it, you know, obnoxious or whatever. But sometimes they'll come down from the nurse's station or something, peek your head in, wonder what's going on. And we're just having church. It's okay. It's all right. So do that. Stop in and see some folks in the nursing home. And this list of the nursing home, it fluctuates. It gets long, gets a bit big, and then sometimes diminishes. And the roster in heaven gets bigger. So while they're here, it's good to reach out to them. And then, of course, praying for those in the armed forces. A large list here of folks that are standing in our stead, defending our country and our freedom to vote, our freedom to have a nation where we can be stupid and crazy and all that kind of thing. Anyway, God's in charge. He's in charge. And I'm so glad of that. We would fret and worry and all that kind of thing if we didn't know that God was in control of everything still. And Brother Joe Cumley's in prayer, please, if you would. And I thank God for Joe and Elaine. I guess 18 years of ministering to children. Is that about right? Ministering to children right here at Volusia County Baptist Church. They've not been in church service on Sunday morning most of the time for 18 years. And they've been reaching boys and girls. Another soul got saved in junior church this past Sunday. And, you know, their children have a tender heart. And what a great opportunity. I was saved when I was 6 years old. 6 years old. And so I thank God for our children's ministry workers. God bless you, Brother Joe. Lead us in prayer if you would.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us. And we agree with the psalmist that said that you are our refuge and fortress in whom we can trust. And we're thankful that you are a trustworthy God, that we can put our
our needs and bring before you that Pastor Mark read. And Lord, you know each one of these requests. You know how best to meet them. And we're thankful we can trust in you that we can bring them before you and God, ask you your best will for their lives. And Lord, we are a needy people. And that's why we come to you. But yet, when things are going good, we want to come to you also and say thank you for your love to us. Thank you for your blessings. And sometimes we're only motivated to come to you when dark things happen our way. But God, we want to praise you in the good times too. And we thank you that you're such a loving God to us. And Lord, we just pray for the remainder of this service this evening, that Lord, that you would just give us listening hearts, receptive hearts to hear your word, and to be doers of it, not hearers only. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's take your hymn books once again. Turn to hymn number 693, A Shelter in the Time of Storm. Hymn number 693.
The Lord's our rock, in him we hide, a shelter in the time of storm. Secure whatever ill betide, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. A shade by day, defense by night, a shelter in the time of storm. Alarm, no foes affright, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is the rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
On that fourth verse,
oh, rock divine, oh, refuge dear, shelter in the time of storm. Be thou our helper ever near, a shelter in the time of storm. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a weary land, a weary land. Oh, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
Amen. Well, I want to recognize anyone who's visiting with us tonight. We might have some parents that brought their children to Children's Music Academy, and we'd love to welcome you, or maybe you just were invited by someone or rambled in. We'd love to welcome you. Anyone visiting here with us tonight for the first time? Anyone? Want to make you feel at home? Okay, I see home folk here, and some folks that haven't been here in a while, and that's great. That's good. Want to give you just a few announcements. Back on the back table, you'll find some of you asked about the poem that Richard Wallace read, that he wrote, The Stature of a Man. These are back there, copies of them are back there on the back table. You didn't have the privilege of seeing what I saw. What I saw him read from was what he called chicken scratch and a lot of scratches. A lot of scratches. That was the manuscript. That was the work that. And he said, could anybody take this? I ran a copy of it. Can anybody take this and maybe type it so that people can read it, because they can't read this? And I said, sure. And so Michelle took it, and she made sure and listened to it so she could make out all the words. And then she typed it up, and these are available if you'd like to keep one in your history book, so to speak. That'd be just fine. And that was an incredible poem from his heart. And that was great. I thought it was funny how he described his poetry about the love of rose and thankful for my nose, and that was the extent of his poetry. Brother Don, you could appreciate he's a gifted poet. And a lyric writer and all of that. On Saturday at 9 o'clock, we need some help trying to get all of the journey panels and things transported out of storage over here on Shattuck, which is about a half mile away. transported over here, and we put them over here so that we can begin creating the outdoor journey through Christmas and all the scenes and everything. This is the first time in, last 2 years we're indoors. And so we have been outside now for 3 years. And so this is a marvelous opportunity to start afresh and anew. And so if you could help us with that at 9 o'clock, that would be just great. And we're preparing for the Journey Job Fair on Sunday. And we will have a list of things in your bulletin, opportunities where everyone can serve. And you might say, well, I don't want to do anything with the public. It just frightens me. Well, guess what? We've got a place for you in the nursery, you know, where you can help, because no public will be allowed in the children's nursery. But our workers need someone to care for them, for instance, while they're here working in a scene. And you might help with food, serving cookies. You might help with driving a van, picking up people. You might help in the cast. You might help in registration here and as an usher. Many different places, and there's a place to serve. I'm sure most of you, some of you have said this. You said, you know, for the past 4 years, I've done this and such. I'd like to try something new this time. And that's great. And this is a good time to sign up. So that'll be on Sunday morning after the church service. We'll have that all set up in the activities building, and that'll be great. On the back table, we have these. We will be putting them in the bulletin on Sunday as well. At Southwide, these were presented, and as soon as we got back, I told Pastor Tim, I said, get them on the phone. I said, we want these in our people's hands. This is called Awake America. Now, 2016 Party Platform Comparison Guide. You may not like any of the candidates. I can say that pretty safely. You might not want to be best buddies with any of them. Okay? But like they told us at Southwide, and I think it's good counsel, that we must vote for the candidate that we dislike the least. Think about that. Because if we don't, we're very likely to get the one that we dislike the most. And now I want you to read just on your own. I want you to read the published platform of the Republican Party and the published platform of the Democratic Party. This is not anything that any Christian coalition or anybody has tainted with or anything. This is the platform that they are presenting. And it is shocking to read both. It is frightening to read, I'll just say, from a standpoint of a pastor, it is frightening to read the Democratic platform. Amen. It is frightening. As an American, as a Bible believer, it is just, I don't understand how that, you know, I'm not talking people, I'm talking about the party platform that they publish. Their stand is in opposition with where we stand. And the party platform of the Republican Party is night and day. Now, you say, well, you shouldn't talk politics. I'm talking principle. I'm talking principle. And so it is a shame the blunders that people running for office, it is a crying shame the blunders that they make. Just talking off the top of their head. It's a crying shame. And those blunders have been publicized. And I hang my head. But I'll tell you something. If we don't do, yes, that's right, they're crying. But if we don't do everything that we could do as a Christian and as an American, then woe be unto us. And we just need to keep our mouth shut. A lot of us might be tempted to do this. You know, I don't like him, and I don't like her. I'm not voting for anybody. Please, reconsider that option. Reconsider that option. And make sure that your vote counts for the future of coming generations. Well, with that said, isn't that pleasant? Ushers, come on down, please, if you will. And we're going to receive the offering in just a moment. And I'm a little bit out of sync here. We'll go ahead and take the offering, and then we'll sing our chorus. How about that? We'll sing our chorus after that. Let's do this. Don and Kim Winkleblech are here. They are moving to Texas. They're going to be with grandchildren. Amen. I don't blame you. That's great. And they will not be here Sunday. Last Sunday was their last Sunday with us. This may be their last Thursday night. Maybe their last service of all time for a good long while. His father lives in down on the peninsula, and so they might be coming through from time to time. Brother Don, come lead us in prayer, please, sir, if you will. And come on up. Brother Don has run the sound system for our church ministries for 8 years.
Yes,
8 years. And he did a faithful job, a wonderful work for the Lord. And I'm so thankful for you, sir. So thankful. We don't have any other outspoken army guys in here like this. Yeah, there you go. Had to get that in. God bless you. Lead us in prayer, please, Brother Don.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this time that we could come and worship you, Lord. And we just come to a time now that just bless this offering, Lord, that it might be used for your glory. We ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. This offering is going to go to try to help. This is the last time that we'll take an offering for Southwide Baptist Fellowship. And I texted Pastor and let him know that this offering will go towards that. So I want you to know the purpose. And it was very effective in inspiring and encouraging pastors and church folks. And many of us got to go, and we're looking forward to going again this coming year. So if you will, feel free to give towards that as God directs you. God bless you. In our hymn book is page 702. You might not need the words. Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Let's stand together, please. Let's ask Him to fill up our heart. Fill up the cup of our heart. Here we go.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
Shake hands one with another. Greet somebody you don't know. We'll sing it again in a moment.
bread of heaven. Feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I see some of you already made it back to the back table and got your copy of that. That's great. That's great. Makes for good reading during the boring parts of the sermon. That'll be good. That'll be good. Well, a little birdie told me that Heather Justice is having a birthday today. Is that right, Heather? Hey, congratulations. Happy birthday. That's great. God bless you. And we've got an anniversary couple, Kim and Dennis Dunn, right back here celebrating today is their anniversary. And we're so glad. God bless you all. Well, amen. You can turn to the book of Ephesians. We'll be looking in chapter 1 in a few moments. And what a joy it is to look into God's Word. Lisa Cribbs is going to come and sing. God bless you, Lisa. Amen. Thank you so very much. You know, most of the time I make a mess of things and I have to come to the Lord and have Him straighten it out. There are so many times when I was growing up, I'd have a bicycle and I'd throw the chain off the sprocket, you know, and I have to come back and, Dad, what do I do? You know, and he'd show me how to fix it and get it going again. So many times with a vehicle or whatever, it seems like that I have a way of messing things up. Don't you feel that way in your life sometimes? Everything we touch, something goes wrong with it. You know why that is? Because We have that old nature within us, that old man that doesn't want to please God, and our ways don't work out the right. So thank you so very much, Lisa. Great, great song, great message. Ephesians chapter 1. That dovetails right into the series that we're going to start looking, as God's laid upon our heart, to begin studying in the book of Ephesians, just verse-by-verse study on Thursday nights, walking worthy of the Savior. And what a joy it is that we can see wondrous truths and that apply to our life today, the day in which we live, walking worthy of the Savior. And so tonight, we're going to hear a message from the ambassador. Message from the ambassador. Let's look, please. We're just going to focus this evening on these first two verses. Verse 1, Ephesians 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. When we moved from Cleveland, Ohio to Chattanooga, Tennessee, I was in ninth grade. And Cleveland, Ohio can be a rough place if, you know, a lot of those northern big cities can be. Southern big cities can be also. And I had a bad experience or two myself there. And in Cleveland, you just kind of went about your own business. You know, I won't bother you. You don't bother me. And I think I've mentioned this. I was acquainted very quickly with what they call Southern hospitality. And as you're walking down the street, someone that you don't even know, they'll say, howdy, how you doing? And they smile a lot of times when they say it. Well, you just never had that happen, Alex. I mean, up north, that just didn't take place. And if it did, then you held your wallet and you scurried on. You didn't know what was in store. But down south, you know, they had this greeting, you know, and they didn't really care how you're doing. They were just words, but it sure sounded good. As we begin looking at Ephesians chapter 1, you'll find as we read these epistles, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians, and all of that, that it starts with a greeting. Howdy, brother! You know, now if they were from the rebel south, that may be what they would say. But it identifies who is writing, who they're writing to, and it encourages us to know something about, you know, what was going on in the circumstances. Let me just throw this in here. All Scripture is not written to you, but all Scripture is written for you. So even though something might be written to the Jews, might be a promise about the kingdom and millennial reign of Christ that applies directly to the Jewish nation, we can draw some wonderful truths out of that, of the character of God and the promises of God, that he does not forget his own, and he keeps his promises and all these things. We can apply that, those principles, to our life today, even though that was not written to us. Be careful to take something that was written to someone else and apply it to yourself. Be careful about that. Alex, I don't know if your wife told you. I sure hope so. Sure hope she told you this. But you know this thing of texting, right? Well, you know, I'm a little slow on the uptake sometimes. And I went to reply to a text that my wife had sent to me. And she, you know, it popped up on my screen. You know, I felt it go off, you know, so I pulled it out and looked, and there's her text. I clicked on her text, and the thing came up for me to enter text there. And so I did, and I responded to her question, and I said, love you. And it went to Rochelle Weiss. She texted back. She said, hi, this is Rochelle. I think you meant this for your wife. You know, sometimes we take what was meant from God to someone else and wanted to apply it to ourselves. We misapply. And so we need to be careful about that. So it's very good to know. And Ephesus, of course, you know, you see the ruins of Ephesus, and the Library of Ephesus is a famous area. And I think I've got a picture of that. I don't know if the guys have that or not. But people go and they visit Ephesus today. Ephesus is. Do you have a map of Ephesus, brother? I think you've got those things. There you go. Ephesus is right there, a coastal city. It has been nicknamed as a rivaling city. It rivals with Corinth as the filth capital of the Roman Empire. Not the fifth, but the filth capital of the Roman Empire. Some 350,000 people lived in the time of the Apostle Paul, at the time of this writing, 350,000 people lived in Ephesus, in and around Ephesus. Now, I looked it up, and if I'm not mistaken, it's 238,000 as of 2010. 238,000 are within the city limits of Orlando. That's a lot of people. 350,000 in Ephesus. Big city. Big city. Even in our terms today. And you can see where it's positioned. Just to the west of Syria and Iraq and all of that. And so as we look at this, I want you to realize that there was also great corruption, perversion. Pornography was a norm. In fact, the great temple of Artemis, the great temple of Artemis was built to the goddess Diana. Immoral practices, religious prostitution, and all of this went on as a part of their religious ritual. And their religion endorsed this. The temple itself was thought of to be one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. And there's a picture of it right there. I'm going to move kind of quickly, guys. So if you want to chase me, that'll be fine. But I'll move quickly. Let's move right along then. The ambassador's true credentials. I'd like you to look at verse 1 again as we look at the ambassador's true credentials. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. The word apostle, it can mean sent one. It can mean messenger. It can mean ambassador. And someone who is carrying like an envoy that has credentials, representing another kingdom, representing another king, and his credentials. Let's look at it there. Letter A. He says, Paul, an apostle. He was a citizen born again from heaven. Paul. He used his born again name, you might say. He never got far from his conversion. Acts chapter 9 gives us the account of when the apostle Paul was stopped dead in his tracks. He was given the opportunity and the option to put his faith and trust into Jesus Christ. He was not forced to. But he had to hit a brick wall. Sometimes people are so convinced that they're doing the right thing and they're so sincere that God has to actually put a brick wall, you might say, in front of them. And that's what had to happen. God had to get a hold of his attention. God knows how to get our attention. It's better for us as believers, by the way, for us to have a submissive heart. Hebrews tells that we're supposed to be submitting ourselves. Romans chapter 12, that we're to submit ourselves unto the Lord. He was born again. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 3, he said unto Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Can't even see the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There's one way to be saved. That's through Jesus Christ, faith in him, as given through the word of God. If someone asks you, how do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? Please have at least one or two Bible verses tucked away in your heart. John 3:16 is the simplest. They might even be able to quote it with you. If nothing else, they'll say, oh, is that what that means? I see that at the football games. The guy holds up John 3:16. I haven't seen that recently. I don't know if they still do that or not. But there for a long time, in the end zone or in certain places where you definitely would see the camera shot, you see John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And you can go on and on from there. The Romans Road and the presentation of the gospel in John and Ephesians 2:8 and 9. And but make sure you have something that points them to the truth of God's holy word, the incorruptible word. You're not going to be able to debate someone into heaven. If you convince them to be a follower, make sure it's a follower of Jesus Christ and not of our church and not of you or any other preacher. Hebrews 11:10 says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Speaking about Abraham here, and that he was looking forward to going, he was a citizen of two worlds. And here the Apostle Paul, he's a citizen of heaven because he was born again. No less than three times that we have recorded in the book of Acts. Paul gives his own personal testimony. Maybe you get a little bit fumbly when you present the gospel to someone. Here is the best way that you can, without doubt, share how to be saved. Tell them how you got saved. Say, well, it wasn't all that flamboyant. That's okay. Tell them how you got saved. You have a unique, powerful testimony of when Jesus spoke to your heart, convicted you of sin, you put your faith and trust in Jesus to take you to heaven, and he's been your closest friend from then on. Tell them about the circumstances. You've heard my testimony many times. Tell them about yours. There's something effective that people want to know that Jesus touches an individual life. And that's what happened with Paul. And so he was a citizen of heaven. And then also he was chosen by the will of God. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. An apostle. He was chosen. Some thoughts here. Acts 9:15. The Lord is speaking and he's saying, but the Lord said unto me, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Speaking of Saul of Tarsus. He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. God chose you. He chose you. We're going to deal with this subject. As I'm studying ahead, you know, and things in Ephesians, I see these words predestined, predestinated, and not a bit bashful about it. And I thought, oh, gracious, here we go. God gave me something that I believe would be a big help. It's a big help to me, to my heart. He chose you. He chose you. And when we get to that in the next few verses, as of next Thursday, I believe it would be a help. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. I'm glad that God chose the foolish things, the weak things. I qualify. I feel like a fool many times. Many times when I teach the Word of God. Many times when I preach the Word of God. Many times when I go out and witness and knock on somebody's door. By the way, Tuesday nights, we're going out at 6:30. Some go out at 6 o'clock. We meet at the office. We have a list of 100 names every month. 100 names every month in Deltona, Orange City, DeLand, and DeBary. 100 names of people who have moved into our area recently, like in the past month or so. And they've got a home, but I wonder if they have a church home. I wonder if they have a heavenly home. And so it's a great opportunity. We give them a little bag, gift bag, and if you'd like to join us on Tuesday evening, that'd be just great. It's exciting to see somebody's eyes light up saying, you know, I was just wondering where we were going to go to church. Didn't know where to start. And I say, well, won't you start with our church? We're not perfect, but we serve a perfect Savior. Chosen. chosen by the will of God. God has a will for your life. God has a will for your children's life and your grandchildren's life. He has a plan. May I be so bold as to say that you and I will feel like that we're just running in circles in our life until we sense that we are fulfilling God's plan for our life. Until we're doing what God created us to do. You say, well, how do I know that? It's by getting in His will. How do I know His will? It starts right here doing with what He's already told us. You see, if I'm not doing what God's already told me, then why would He tell me something more if I'm not doing what He's already told me to do? But if I strive by God's grace to please Him and I start out in that right direction, and again, I wish I could say that I've done that perfectly all my life. My wife will tell you that I haven't. But as God sees me start out doing what God wants me to do, and I'm struggling, and I'm saying, God, I want to please You every moment, every day. I want Your will to be my goal. I want to please You, and if You say it, I want to live it. As I do that, God blesses, and God directs, and God brings someone across my path that needs Him. It's a wonderful thing. By the will of God. God has a will for your life. You don't have to be an apostle. And by the way, this is probably something for another time. But be very careful and cautious about modern, quote, apostles. I know that there were people labeled in the Bible as apostles that were beyond the 12. I understand that. And in the sense of messengers, in the sense of someone being sent and this kind of thing. But as far as a lot of times when people are claiming the office of the apostle, it's because they want the power, they want the prestige, they want that God has given some new truth beyond Scripture, some new truth beyond Scripture. And because I'm an apostle, you need to listen to me. Folks, those days are closed. Those days are closed. And so run from those folks. Please, pray for them as you go, but run from them. And then his credentials, he says he was called by the Lord Jesus. Called by the Lord Jesus. Luke 6:13 says, and when it was day, Jesus called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12 whom also he named apostles. Galatians 1:1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. The apostle Paul, his office that Jesus Christ appointed him to, by the will of God, placed him in. There were some who attacked that. There were some who didn't want to accept that. He said, listen, I didn't sign up for this. This is what God called me to do. I didn't volunteer. God volunteered me. How many of you men, any of you, did you respond to the draft? We have some. Yes. Respond. You were called up, weren't you? Uncle Sam wants you. That's what happened. That's what happened to Saul of Tarsus. And what a wonderful thing. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 7 and 8, Paul writes, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Do you remember on the Damascus Road we were just referring to a moment ago, do you remember what happened to him as a result of the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ to him on the Damascus Road? What happened to him? What was he? He went blind. And it was a miracle of God that the scales fell from his eyes. I don't want to read too much into this, but it appears that that is what he's referring to. He saw the risen Christ. And the glory of the risen Christ was too much for him. Do you remember Moses, whenever he was in the mount, receiving the Ten Commandments, when he would come down from the mount, that he could not minister. He could not talk to people because his face glowed. He had to wear a veil. So he saw him. He saw the risen Christ. He meets the requirements of an apostle. And if you find someone who says that they're an apostle, ask them when they saw Christ. Roman numeral 2. The ambassador's target concern. His target concern. Look at verse 1, middle of the verse. To the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. To the saints which are at Ephesus. His target concern was to a local church first. A local church. I'm so thankful that God knows where you're at. He knows Orange City. He knows Volusia County Baptist Church. He knows the finances. He knows the attendance. He knows the needs. He knows the maintenance. He knows the ministries. He knows who's in the nursery. He knows all these things. He knows who's in the choir. He knows who's sitting in the congregation who ought to be in the choir. All that he knows. It's what happens when the pastor is a music director. It kind of filters in. He cares about us individually. The local church. Matthew 18:17 is the only time in the Gospels when the local church is referenced. Matthew 18:17, and if he shall neglect to hear them, Jesus is speaking here, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. This is the only time in the Gospels that we found where the local church is referred to. The other time in the Gospel when the church is referred to is not the local church, but the what we call the larger church. The larger church. I don't want to disappoint you, but we're not the only church going to be in heaven. Okay? We're not. There's churches all around the world that are going to be represented in heaven. And there's going to be people that are members of other kinds of churches than our church that are going to be in heaven. Now, I want to be in a Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching, missionary-minded, evangelistic, soul-winning, we can go on ahead and list all kinds of adjectives. I want to be in that kind of an active, vibrant church. That's where I want to be. Where I sense God's Holy Spirit and I see His working in families and lives and all that. That's where I want to be. But there are people who are content to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, and out of tradition, they stay where they're at. I may have shared this, I don't know. But when I lived in Cleveland, Ohio, there was a dear lady who lived next door to us. And I would have been in eighth grade then. And I witnessed to her one day, and she would have been old enough to be my grandmother or great-grandmother at that time. And I witnessed to her and told her about the Lord and what the Lord had done for me. I knew that she was Catholic. By the way, 92% Catholic population, Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, I'm from Cleveland Baptist Church, and I went to boom, bam, the door slams. Witnessing down here is great. As compared to there. So I began talking with her, and she knew us and all that, and she had an open heart. And I asked her, I said, do you know for sure that if you died today that you would go to heaven? That was my last line. She said, yes. Well, I didn't expect that out of someone who's Catholic. I said, really? Well, how do you know? She said, I was sitting at home, I was watching a Billy Graham crusade. And when he gave that invitation, I bowed my head and God dealt with my heart. And I asked Jesus Christ to forgive me of my sins and be my Savior. Amen. I said, okay. So, are you saying that the priest can't get you to heaven? She said, no. I said, well, when you take the sacraments and go to Mass and confession, you got to do all that to go to heaven? No. I said, you mean you're not trusting your church at all to get you to heaven? She said, son, a church can't get anybody to heaven. I was out of ammunition, you know. She was just as saved as I was. But she went to her Catholic church every Sunday because that's just all that she'd ever done. Bless her heart, she's all straightened out now. And there's no Pope in heaven, at least not apart from Jesus Christ, that is. The larger church, Matthew 16:18, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Not speaking of a local church. We need to be careful if you run across some of these folks that we nickname capital B Baptists. What I mean by that is they really do think that if you're going to go to heaven, you're going to have to be in our church. That's not what he was talking about here. His church, the body of Christ, the kingdom of Christ, that's people in Japan that are saved, and people that are in Switzerland, people that are in South America, and people in Orange City, all around the world. I will build my church. What a wonderful truth. Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." The church, the larger church. And so I look forward to meeting a lot of these folks. Now, let me hasten on. Roman numeral 3, the ambassador's total consistency. Total consistency. All this in these first two verses. And by the way, before we end verse 1, look at this. "The saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." That's us. That's us. So, I want you to understand that we can correctly interpret and apply Ephesians to us. It's a wonderful thing. This is written not only for us, but this book, this epistle is written to us. So that's great. That's great. We're part of the larger church. All right. So that's encouraging to me. And then Roman number 3, the ambassador's total consistency. First, we see a consistent grace. Grace be to you. Not just to Ephesus, but it's also to the larger church. To the faithful. Grace be to you. Now, if you look this up, you'll find that the Greek word for rejoice, is very close in the Greek. It even sounds like the Greek word for grace. The Gentiles, the Greeks, they would greet one another, rejoice. That's what they would say in the Greek language. And so it's amazing how the first word of greeting for him that he gives is not rejoice, but it almost sounds just like it, grace. And as they read this, they no doubt thought he's saying rejoice. And then they find out grace, the unmerited favor, Titus 2:11. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." To all men. So consistent grace to everyone. I'm going to tie this together in just a moment. And the next is grace to you and peace from God our Father. Peace. Now the Jews, when they greeted each other, they would say peace. What's the word? Shalom. Shalom. So the Greeks, when they said howdy, they would say rejoice. And when the Jews, when they greeted each other and said howdy, they would say peace. Shalom. So he unites the church that sometimes was racially torn between the Gentiles and the Jews. And he unites them together, grace and peace. But notice what else he does. He says grace and peace from God. What's the next word? Our Father. We have a common family. We have the same Father. Race is not an issue to a Christian. And what a joy in our world that we live in today. I wonder. It seems like that the difficulties of race in our nation is being amplified and used as a tool for certain agendas. But there is difficulty in race sometimes. There is. And for a Christian, we have to look at this from God's perspective. Hey, we're all one in Christ. We are. And we either accept it now or we accept it then. What a joy. A consistent peace. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 16. Now the Lord of peace give himself peace, but always, by all means, the Lord be with you all. 1 Corinthians 14:33. This is a great verse. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. If you go to a church in Texas, Brother Don, Miss Kim, you're going to look for a place that you sense the peace of God, where you have peace. Because God's not the author of confusion. You're just going to sense there that it's going to be home. It's going to be God's place for you. And that's what you ought to feel when you come to Volusia County Baptist Church. You ought to feel like you're home. Now, we have no continuing city. This is where we're renting. We own up there. We got a condo in heaven. Amen. I don't have a condo anywhere, but I got a condo up there. Right on the water. River of life. I don't know where it is, but I'll just be tickled to be there. Consistent peace. And then we have a consistent God. He says it from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to every one of us. Consistent love to God has no favorites. Say, well, why does God do certain things for certain people and all that kind of thing? Is it perhaps that that person has grown close to God, wants to walk with Him, begs for His favor, begs for His blessing, direction, and wisdom? And perhaps because that person is so close, things just fall off the cart in their lap a lot of times. Says, yeah, there you go. Yeah, there you go. That's fine. Perhaps it's our fault. It's not God's fault. We serve a great God. The Apostle Paul is about to speak not only to the church at Ephesus, but also this letter is to be taken to Galatia and Colossae and all the other churches all around, and it's to be read. Some have even thought that where it said the word Ephesus, some have even thought, and I don't know where they get this, that the name Ephesus was actually taken out and it was just left a blank space, so that the person reading the epistle, reading the letter, would say, now unto the church of Colossae, now unto the church of Philippi, you know, and so on and so forth. Because it wasn't, you know, I don't know. I don't ascribe to that necessarily. But it is written to the faithful. What a joy to be able to say, Lord, I want to walk worthy of the Savior. Well, Ephesians is our guidebook. Our trip advisor. If we will just apply what we learn in the coming weeks, if I will apply as a pastor what God has given to us in the book of Ephesians, I know we'll have a better church than I could ever lead on my own. I need your prayers. I covet your prayers. And there's going to be decisions. There's going to be some things that I'll be presenting. Of course, this coming Sunday, focusing on Journey Through Christmas. This coming Sunday, be mentioning some more things about the election. That's my place to encourage God's people, and so I'll do that as faithfully as I possibly can. But then there's a big event coming in November, and I want you to pray about that. Pastor already mentioned it, so I'll mention it now. That in the Word of God, there's two offices given to a church. Those offices are that of a pastor and that of deacons. And pastor a few weeks ago maybe a month or two ago, I guess now, pastor looked over at me and he said, and I want that to change. I want you to consider having deacons. So I'll be preaching a message on the first Sunday in November, what the Bible design and guide as far as I can see scripture of what deacons are all about. And then we'll have nominations open for a month. So I want you to pray some wonderful opportunities. If our church is going to continue to grow, I need a broader foundation of helpers and counselors and watchers over God's flock. People sometimes come in and go out, and sometimes they're not even noticed. And so I need some help with that. So pray about all these things. But in and through it all, we have an opportunity to see hundreds of people saved. Hundreds of people saved, a journey through Christmas. So pray that God will have his hand and keep his hand upon us at this local church. Let's stand together, please. Now, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. And we thank you, Lord, that you have promised to give us what we need. Lord, we're not an apostle in the sense of some of these, like some people might say. But Lord, you have sent each and every one of us with a great commission to point people to Jesus Christ. So Lord, help us to walk worthy of the Savior. Bless and direct us and guide us. Lord, the many requests that were mentioned on the prayer list, I ask you, God, that you would intervene as your grace and your will would allow. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to have even more reason to brag on your holy name and to glorify you. Bless our youngsters as they're meeting there in CMA. I pray that as they've been singing and playing instruments, your music, Lord, that might soften and tender their heart. And Lord, that they might receive you and serve you. We thank you for meeting with us here tonight. Bring us back together again on Sunday, Saturday, all these times. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me remind you, please, if you could help on tomorrow morning at 6:45, 6:45, the Jorgensons will meet you here. There's a team. We have the Nelsons have said that they would be here. That would be great. Of course, Paul and Sharon, they're headed out, and we need to replace them. It's going to take two or three couples to replace you all. So if you would help with that, with the cleaning on tomorrow morning, that'd be great. God bless you, folks. Have a great evening. Thanks for being in church tonight.